Right, the big idea. Most people don't question their fear based on self-negative thoughts, but tend to readily accept them. We sort of sit there and say, yeah, it's okay to think that. But no, sometimes we can master it and put them to one side. Regardless of whether the destructive thoughts have any basis in reality, people can let them invade their minds and hijack their confidence and well-being. Now, on the line, I've got Aura, and I'm hoping I'm going to say her name right, Nadrich. She has written the book. It's called, Aura has written the book called, One Says Who? How One Simple Question Can Change the Way You Think Forever. Now, this to me sounds very interesting. I want to hear all about it. Aura, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Lovely. Thank you for joining me. Now, what is the basis?
Thank you for having me.
No, absolutely. I'm very, very interested. What is the basis of your book? Where did you start with this?
Well, I say I had my first original, if you will, says who moment when I was not quite 15 years old, and my older sister, who I absolutely adored and loved so deeply, had a mental break, which at the time was called a nervous breakdown. And I was devastated. She meant the world to me, and I couldn't understand how someone could be just seemingly perfectly fine one day and never the same again. And when that happened to her, I went into fight or flight, which is, as we know, we go into a complete fear state. And when I went there, a thought came into my mind, which was, oh my God, what happened to her will happen to me. And that petrified me. And I didn't know it at the time. I was a young woman, and I buried that thought. And what happened was, you know, with all of my many years of research thereafter, I started to feel the symptoms and the anxiety of that fear thought, which was deep anxiety. And that really began the understanding that our thoughts create emotions, and we may not even know what those thoughts are, and they can literally destroy our life.
So really, from a family member or a friend who went through a very hard time, you decided to, that you obviously practiced mindfulness for years, you know it inside out, you decided to put it on pen to paper and write it down so people can learn how to deal with these negative thoughts.
Absolutely. You know, I went through so many years of suffering, and I didn't know why. You know, it took me on a very deep psycho-spiritual journey, and I was determined. I wanted to understand really what my suffering was about, because I didn't know. I didn't know why I was experiencing such profound anxiety, and I had years later become an actress, and it started to really impact the quality of my life, so I wanted to get to the bottom of it. I thought, something's going on, and I need to know what it is. And it took me into, as I said, a deep psycho-spiritual journey. It wasn't until I went into Jungian analysis that I was able to really finally confront these fears, which Jung called the shadow. And after that, I knew that I was just committed to helping people on this journey, and that the years and years of suffering that we go through really don't need to happen if we understand the thinking mind better.
Because my daughter, I mean, she's at that funny age. She's 19. I think between 17 and 19 is quite a tough age. And I remember being that age, so it was tough. And she's 19, rising 20 this year. And she's hugely anxious. I mean, you've got to think of the pressure that's on teenagers today, you know, to either go to uni, or they're in uni, they've got the exams to pass, or any of that. It's quite a lot to make anyone anxious.
Absolutely, Jill, and I'm so glad you're mentioning it. I have two children as well, and my youngest is also going off to college. So I have seen this firsthand, and actually I've been asked to create a mindfulness program for a school. Because
brilliant idea.
I mean, really, I wish we all had learned these skills when we were younger. Mindfulness is one of the most, I think, brilliant skills for us to learn, because it helps us navigate the difficulties in the world. And like, as you mentioned, kids today, the pressure that we see them going through, and they don't know really what to do with all these pressures, which is why I think, you know, the drug crisis, the opioids crisis, you know, depression has risen off the charts. You know, there's so many things that we need to be really
and social media. Social media is a killer.
Oh, totally.
You know, when we grew up, we were lucky to have a phone box. Do you know? You know, we had nothing, and I think we did lead a much safer, more not so vulnerable life. We were protected by our parents, but our life was not, you know, overlooked. Oh, sorry, t- too much, you know, with the phone. We weren't looking at the, who's, what, how skinny is that one? And that one's got better hair than me. And she's wearing that amazing outfit. Look, in some ways, in today's world, for marketing a brand or a product, it's fantastic. But in the other side, on the other side, it's actually killing our kids.
I couldn't agree with you more, and I'm so glad that you're mentioning this, because, you know, look, we're bombarded, and we're adults, but imagine what they're going through. It's tenfold. Mm. I mean, they are constantly being inundated, and, you know, they're walking around, you know, glued to their devices. Mm. And, you know, even in relationships, you know, we see kids here in the States where they're not even looking at each other. They're sitting at a table, you know, having lunch, and they're on their phones. You know, they're not even connecting. So the quality of connecting isn't even really very mindful, if you will, very conscious. And so we don't even know what the long-term effects of this is going to be.
Well, I tell you, as an adult, I do find myself, you know, looking at my social media, because I am on Instagram and I do Facebook, and sometimes I have to sort of say to myself, no, no more, don't look at that. It's rude at the table. But I'm doing, my boyfriend's always saying to me, could you put that down? Because he doesn't like social media.
You know, it's really true, and it's funny you said that about your boyfriend, because I actually admire people that are not at the effect of this, that they don't even need it. Mm. You know, that's sort of few and far between. I was just literally telling somebody who does not have an Instagram account, but they're an animal lover. I mentioned an account on Instagram about animals, and I said, oh, you would love this. It's like they post the most heartwarming posts about animals, and she's like, oh, but I'm not on Instagram. And I actually admired her for that. Well, lo and behold, she recently got on Instagram, and now she can't get off of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's addicting.
So it just goes to show you, you know, that we really need these skills. That's why I feel that really working with our thoughts, and, you know, when we have things like the inner critic, which a lot of young kids, as well as us, have, because we're so immersed in social media, and we're living by comparing ourselves to others.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know?
Well, the other question, I'm going to go back to your book, because we could talk about social media for hours and we're very limited on time, but I would like to go back to your book. Again, the book is Says Who, How I Simply Question Can Change the Way You Think Forever. If you could summarize one line or sort of area of the book that would be so fundamentally important, so someone's listening out there and they think a bit negative of their weight or how they look, if, is there something we can do to stop thinking those negative thoughts? Because we're thinking thousands of thoughts every day. Is there something that
Absolutely.
We can do? Just one thing that you could say we could try and change?
Well, really what I say in the book, I mean, I say question your thoughts, and people might be listening going, well, how do I do that? That's really what the Says Who method is all about. It's about catching that negative thought and stopping it in its tracks. You know, we do have these thousands and thousands, up to 70,000 thoughts a day in our mind, and apparently a very high percentage of them, maybe 80% of them, are negative. So what you want to do is train the mind to be aware, again, going back to mindfulness, aware of when that negative or fear-based thought pops up into your mind and go, oh, there it is. There's that thought. And I call that being the observer. When we observe our thought, we are not going to react to it. We then can take the steps to change it, which I say, question it, ask it these questions, which are the Says Who method, so that you can begin to, what I also offer up is my release and replace technique, release a negative thought, because you can, and replace it with its positive counterpart that serves your well-being, and you start to form healthy thinking habits, and you start to have more control of your mind.
Do you think writing things down is a good way of sort of training your mind to think different thoughts?
Absolutely. I'm all for writing things down and journaling. I have people in my workshops write down the negative thoughts or even work on one. And, you know, what I also want to say to your listeners is, even if you work with one thought, even if you're willing to change out one thought today, write that thought down. Do you know, I have these post-its, these release and replace post-its. You don't obviously have them. They can write down one thought that they want to let go of. On my post-its, I say crumple it up and throw it in the garbage. You know, and then write down another thought that you've replaced that thought with, something positive that you want to accomplish, something that's complementary to who you are, and then put that on a mirror somewhere. You know, put these up so that you can see it. And if I say to people, do you want to go into the garbage and take out that crumpled piece of paper with the negative thought that keeps bothering you, would you want to, you know, take it back? They go, absolutely not. And I say, that's what you can do. You can release that thought and replace it with its positive counterpart.
Because I've just moved here from London to Spain. And just before I left, you know, because that's why I asked about writing things down, she gave me this jar. It was very interesting, actually. And she said, each day you take a little piece. It looked like a little post-it note. Take it out and you look at it. Because obviously we've moved quite a long way from home. And we're in a different country and we're starting afresh here. And, you know, she said, take out these little, and she said, don't throw it away. Put it in the bottom of the jar and you can just recycle it. And they're always nice thoughts. And I think that goes back to mindfulness, which is what you do. Because I can hear it in your voice. You're so calm. And I want to talk to you for hours, you know, because I do. We all need a bit of mindfulness.
We do. And I just want to say this about mindfulness. And it is a gift that keeps on giving. And let me tell you something. Everybody has it. Mindfulness is a quality that each and every one of us has inside us, but we're not necessarily using. I want to include everybody. I feel that there are so many people out in the world that go, oh, I don't meditate. Oh, I don't know what mindfulness is. And I'm telling you, you have it. And all you have to do is to do things like these skill sets that we're talking about. You talk about the jar. I had a women's group for about 10 years, and I had what's I believe you're talking about is the happiness jar. And I had these women come together. I had a huge table, bought them all jars, bought them all these beautiful things like ribbons and paper and glitter and stars. And I said, okay, we're going to make happiness jars. And it's interesting. A lot of the women said, oh, no, I'm not very creative. Oh, no, I'm not artistic. And I said, there you go, says who?
Negative.
Who said you're not creative?
Yeah.
Do you know? And let me tell you something. Every one of those women made the most beautiful jar. And now put what you're talking about, Jill, those positive affirmations.
Yeah, affirmations. One. That's the word I was looking for. Affirmations, yes. Yes.
You know, put them in a jar. Put them on a mirror when you're getting ready in the morning. Why can't we write down, I love myself. I'm doing better every day. I deserve this. I mean, start to make that your self-talk. That should be our inner self-talk. You know, I have a quote and says, who? I am the creator and master of my internal dialogue, which creates my reality. We are creating our reality every day. What do you want that to be?
All right, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you. Your book, again, says who, how a simple question can change the way you think forever. It's available on our bookstore, online at Talk Radio Europe, or it's been a pleasure. Love speaking to you.
Thank you so much, Jill.